Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The road to defend Lord Stanley's Cup starts now.
They score! And it's Alex Ovechkin! He scores! Nick Backstrom goes top right corner!
Caps. Canes.
Four Jenner from 2 feet out!
Game one tomorrow night at 7:30. Only on your flagship home of the Washington Capitals and the Stanley Cup Playoffs. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
So Valdez went to Doggy Jams this weekend.
Yes, he did.
Doggy Jams, our former producer.
This is Matt Valdez.
Fred Oliverio produced with us for many, many, many years. And then he took over Sup Dogs at East Carolina, which his brother founded. And he now has expanded Sup Dogs to both East Carolina and North Carolina campuses. And he has an annual event called Doggy Jams, which is a big concert.
I believe this is my fourth or fifth one that I've been to.
And in the past, he's had a lot of, I would say, reality stars involved. Like, he's had Brody Jenner DJing.
Paulie D.
Paulie D from Jersey Shore.
That's what I know.
Right.
I didn't recognize the acts this year.
I didn't really either. It was like a EDM DJ, Mads, apparently. But she was pretty good. She played all the EDM hits.
Right.
And then Esco, who's like Future's DJ.
I saw like some of the video that he posted at Sup Dogs ECU, and it looked like one of the DJs, maybe this was Esco, was he wearing like a backpack or something? It looked really
Yeah, he had
weird.
Like a backpack on. And then one of them had like this huge, giant, like almost paper mache type head.
It was
an awkward bit that they were doing. I didn't understand it.
Did you feel old when you saw it?
I felt old the entire weekend.
Who was the... I know we're going to get into the old bit. Who was the chick that he had running around?
That was Mads. And she was wearing like the pink hot pants. And...
No, what is she? Is she a DJ?
Yeah, she's a DJ.
She's a popular DJ.
Well, she is, no, not really, but she's has a big Instagram following because she's hot. And
Right. So that's why she's popular. She's
An
Instagram DJ.
She took her Instagram fame and parlayed into being a DJ.
Smart.
It is smart.
So
she's
smart.
On that grind.
How many Instagram followers does she have? What does it take to get to that level?
Oh, I think she's got at least a million or so.
Oh, over a million?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. We just got to get a million followers and then just quit our jobs and then just be social media people.
I have to get back on Instagram.
Yeah, you got to get back on the gram.
Every time I log in, they think I'm logging in from Russia.
But it looked, weather was great.
Yeah, it rained the night before,
uh-huh.
Which had Brett a little scared,
right.
Me a little scared. But during the day of Doggy Jams, it was fine. Just a little cloudy.
A little cloudy and an amazing turnout as always.
As always. It gets bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah. Did he have a side stage?
No, he doesn't have that yet.
Yeah, because that's the next bit.
That's the next thing. And then it's going to get so big to the point where that parking lot where Sup Dogs is,
it's
not going to be able to hold everybody.
Yeah, he's going to have to do it at like a stadium.
Basically, or a park or some other open space.
Right. Unbelievable.
But the bar itself, Sups,
yeah.
I mean, he has to be crushing it.
He is
Because we went there.
Sup crushing it.
So we went there Friday. Saturday for Doggy Jams, and then we also stopped there Sunday and ate before we hit the road.
Mm-hmm.
Each time that we went, it was packed.
Yeah.
And it was Friday night, Saturday during the day, and even Sunday at like 11 for lunch, it was packed.
Right. No, it's
and then the rooftop deck that he put up there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
it's like the spot to be.
That's the spot to be.
Yeah. Who's on the line?
That's Brett.
That is Brett.
Now, right. Valdez, a lot of people were saying on social media that you looked like a donk. I saw one picture where you were looking at your phone. Was it just that you have gray hair? Why were people joning on?
I did like your Britney t-shirt,
yeah,
by the way.
I did wear a
like
silly Britney t-shirt that made my muscles look big for Brett.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a funny bit.
Right.
So I figure we would kind of mourn her going to rehab together.
Right.
And then Brett was so concerned with the event, he laughed 1 second.
Right, and then he's on to the next.
Yeah, then didn't care.
Yeah, he's not too much fun on that day, right?
No, he is fun, but he is kind of working.
Of course. It's the biggest day of the year for him.
Yeah, and then we're there crashing his party, trying to do shtick and trying to do bits, and he's just trying to figure out.
Well, I think what was alarming is that because you're like me, you wear a hat all the time, people don't see that, you know, you're getting gray hair.
Getting gray hair?
Yeah.
I am fully gray.
No, I'm fully gray, but you have gray hair.
No, your hair is white. My hair is gray.
Well, you have gray sprinkled in.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was alarming.
And how old are you?
31.
31.
It happens.
That's a bit early. But you know what? Embrace it, because if I recall, is your dad bald?
Well, he is now. It took him a while.
Okay.
So maybe this will be your deal. You'll just be gray. It's all good. It doesn't matter. But Brett's on the line, and congratulations, buddy. Home
Thanks,
run
guys.
Again.
Appreciate it.
What, yeah, man. What number Doggy Jams is it for you?
I think it's number 10.
Wow.
We've been doing it for a long time.
Now, have you been doing it all, or did your brother do some before?
My brother started it.
Right.
But back then, it was sort of just like 25 people out in the parking lot. We've sort of taken it to the next level. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than planning a spring break party when we did those.
Except it's much bigger now. It's 10 times bigger.
Yeah.
More girls.
Yeah, and that you're still doing it. We've kind of pulled the plug on that.
Yeah. By the way, and that was a good move, too. Yeah.
Have you guys had a horse contest? Yeah.
Are you throwing yogurt in girls' faces?
Yeah, you guys have taken it to the next level.
You're doing a lesbian couch?
Those are all genius ideas. Yeah. I mean, I stand by all those ideas. The horse contest was my idea. By the way, Cakes, you had no problem back in the day when I tried to get, you know, I tried to book Freddie Wilhite on the show.
He was a murderer, right?
Yeah.
Former killer.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, Cakes didn't kick. Cakes wanted it. He supported it.
I don't remember this, but go ahead. Cakes doesn't believe in a redemption story. Like, do you believe a guy should have a second chance in life?
Why we're getting sidetracked. Yeah,
stop.
Just zip it.
You're going to ruin it.
Maybe he just got enticed.
Yeah.
By the way, I would have loved to have Freddie Wilhite on the show. That would have been great.
Did we ever get him, or we never
got him? No, he refused.
Oh, he refused.
I wrote him letters and mailed him to the jail trying to get him to call in. He never did.
Yeah. Right. All right, Freddy. So explain for those that didn't know, again, JP tried to do a little brief synopsis, but the acts that you had.
Yeah, the at Doggy Jams, we had DJ Pauly D came, Brody Jenner. By the way, The Hills is coming back on MTV.
Right.
last year was Lil Jon.
Right.
And then this year we had DJ Esco, who's Future's DJ, and he's got his own, you know, hits. And
now,
then
how are you picking these? Like, who's hipping you to this? Like, the kids there, you're asking who's cool, and they're telling you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just ask around and then have, like, a short list and then just shoot emails and see
what
available.
Their calls are.
I tried everyone from, like, Lil Dicky to T-Pain to, you know, pretty famous DJs like Diplo and Nightmare. And
can you explain? You know, I always think it's fascinating. Like, we play poker, and Brett will tell me how he's planning, and he tells us, like, who costs what.
Yeah.
Give our audience an idea of what some of these guys cost.
It was like Diplo. What does Diplo go for?
$200,000.
Wow.
I actually couldn't tell you anything about Diplo.
Yeah, well, you know, he's famous.
Again,
famous
we're in the wrong segment of the DJ business.
Cakes, me and you should start a DJing business. We'll call it Bitlo.
Yeah, Bitlo. Wear something weird on our heads and charge people $100,000 for an appearance.
All right, who else? Brett, I always find that fascinating.
Yeah, Marshmallows, $500,000.
Oh, my God.
Well, he's got mega hits, right?
So does Diplo.
I don't know Diplo.
You know who's pretty affordable with Lil Wayne was $150,000. I thought he'd be more, actually.
Right.
Keep in mind.
He might die from scissor up on stage.
If you find that affordable, you must be crushing it.
He's crushing it.
Selling a lot of crushes.
I just mean, like, comparable to, you know, the market for these chain smokers are like $350,000.
All right, what are some of, like, reality stars or maybe some, like, B-listers or guys that used to be huge, like an MC Hammer? I don't know, like an old name.
MC Hammer.
You know what I'm saying? Like an old name that you could get for $10,000
or
$20,000.
Like Naughty by Nature or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You could probably get, like, Tone Loc. Have you heard of Tone Loc?
Sure, of course. I've heard of him.
He's probably, like, 10 to 15.
Tone Loc? Oh, my God.
You name that over Wild Thing? Wild Thing's is one seed.
Yeah, whatever. It's a remake. Those are the two. Go ahead.
Biz Markie's, like, 10 to 12.
We had Biz in studio.
Yeah. For free.
The problem is that the 20-year-olds there aren't going to know who Biz Markie is.
Right.
They're just not going to. They might know his one song.
How much? T-Pain?
T-Pain is $50,000.
How much is Flo Rida?
He's actually, I think he's like 75. He's got a lot of hits.
Oh, dude, you could have done that. You could have made that work.
What about, like,
the thing is, like, there's a, like, a window, like, at a, like, college kids, Flo Rida, they're like, eh.
What about Tribe Called Quest? Could you pull, like, Q-Tip and the boys? Although one of them is dead.
Let's just do a show for
the five-footer.
The college crowd's not going to be into it. Here's one thing that we should bring up while we're talking to you. In the midst of doing Doggy Jams, which is a huge, smashing success, you've been in this contest on Barstool for the best bar in America, and Sup Dogs was a 9 seed and has advanced all the way to the final.
Props.
And there was controversy along the way, because I believe against LSU, was it Fred's bar?
They bought
a bot or something and beat you at the last second, but it was clearly cheating.
Yeah, I mean, all these, the contest goes down on Twitter, and it's just Twitter votes, and, like, literally these bars, like, we're crushing them, so they're buying, you can buy votes on Twitter for any poll for, like, 10,000 votes for $500.
Right.
So, I don't know, it's all been good publicity. It's all through Barstool, so we're in the finals up against this bar called Champs at Penn State, which is, like, just Joe Jonas's favorite bar. So the Jonas Brothers are going crazy promoting this contest in this bar.
Well, plus,
and I guess his wife, Sophie Turner, who's on Game of Thrones, she's promoting it.
So it's a tough ask, too. Plus, it's Penn State. They have this massive alumni, right, the group.
Yeah, 50,000 students.
Yeah, I mean, how do you beat that?
And they have tons of famous people, famous athletes promoting for them, and I literally have you guys.
You got us.
Here's the deal.
Austin, you have Zay Jones.
The power of the Junkies. He's got Mr. Beast, I believe.
That's
Mr.
YouTube
Beast,
guy.
That helps.
Yeah. YouTube guy helps, right?
You got Mike Houston.
You need to tweet. You need to tweet. Use hashtag Barstool Sups and hashtag Barstool Best Bar.
Do you think you have a shot at this, Brett?
We do. We do. I mean, like, you guys have a ton of listeners that are, like, super
loyal.
And the contest starts at 2 p.m. today. I mean, who do you guys know anyone famous? Who's, like, Diana Rossini? Who else? Who else do you guys know?
That can help promote?
I don't know. I was thinking, like, Phil Galfond. I mean, who do we know that, like, has a lot of Twitter?
Feinstein. We'll get Feinstein.
Hey, I just noticed
this. Reach out to Mark Robert.
I was kind of retweeting on your behalf, and I noticed there is a misspelling from 2 days ago. You got it as Barstool Best Bar. Would that hurt your votes? We gotta hook that up.
That. But we were crushing them at the time, so I didn't even worry about it. But yeah, that was a botch. But yeah, so the voting starts at 2 p.m. and if we win, like, Barstool Corporate comes down and basically throws another Doggy Jams. Like, it's supposed to be insane.
Really?
Yeah. So
yeah, you got it.
I just need I don't know if you guys know any famous people that could tweet at 2 p.m.
You need Harold Varner III or whatever. You need him again.
He's done it. He's helped. But, like,
he has?
You know, Penn State, he has. So has Zay Jones. And
hey, don't be intimidated. You guys have already made it to the final.
What
it's
about
a Cinderella
Paulie
story.
D? Did you get Paulie D to tweet for you?
I'm going to try. I'm going to hit him up. But he's going to be like, what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, is he kind of out of it?
Right.
Get Brody. Get all those guys.
I know. I'm going to try. We have Carter Cruz, who went to ECU, former porn star turned DJ. I don't know.
We'll hey, porn stars, man. Carter they probably have a larger following than you think.
Yeah, who are the biggest ECU alums?
Ooh, Sandra Bullock, I believe.
Got to hit up Sandra
But
B
she doesn't know
Twitter.
Anything about us. And then I think, did Vince McMahon go to ECU? I think he did.
What, Sandra Bullock wife. Went to ECU?
I thought she went to JMU. Did she really?
Didn't know that.
All right.
I think just for a couple years. dude, there's just not that many. I mean,
all right, so 2 p.m. today, and the big deal is we'll put it up at Junks Radio, but the thing they need to do is just tweet and use the hashtag Best Barstool Bar and hashtag, what's the other hashtag?
Barstool Best Bar and Barstool Sups. If you go to the Junkies Twitter accounts or our Subdog TCU, it's all right there. You can just have to literally send a tweet.
But you can't like tweet multiple times. Like, you can only vote one time, right?
Just once.
Unless you have a different account. Yeah.
And that was because of all these bots and, you know, all the people scamming for votes.
Right.
This is getting real geeky, but
right. Well, it's awesome. You know, we love you.
I really appreciate
proud of
it.
You. Yeah. And congrats again on another Subdog. Are you already working on next year's? Like, is it one of those things?
Yeah, no, I will probably in a couple months, but
Can you do it in the parking lot one more year, or is it so big now you're going to have to do it like a park?
Yeah,
or
we definitely have to move it to like an like a small amphitheater, like a, I don't know, like a real venue, not like a parking lot.
You should move it into the football stadium on campus. That's what you should do. That's a big room.
You guys should throw one.
Brett, I want to ask you this just to bring it back to Joning on Valdez for a second. I remember years ago when you first started getting grays, you would pluck them. And
how do you not? I don't understand how he doesn't dye it. Like, I'm you know, my grays are starting to come in on the sides. 100% going to dye it.
Yeah.
It's just a fine
line. Maybe it's a college town.
Dude, he comes in here. His life is a joke. I mean, he gets up early, comes in here dirty. I don't blame you. I do the same thing. Then you go home, and your day is almost over, and then you're tired. I mean, when's he going to dye his
hair? He just punts.
What's he doing? He's not doing anything important.
He's already married.
He wears a hat the whole time. He probably hit skins with a hat on.
I should have dyed it before. I should have dyed it before.
He's got the muscles, though.
Yeah, he's lifting, looks
he's
big.
He's jacked.
Yeah.
Diet before talking to 21-year-olds.
Yeah. Right.
I'll remember that next time.
Yeah. How did Shorts comport himself? Was there a bit involved? Or?
Yeah, Shorts. Oh, there's
always, yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, always a bit, though, but he shaved his beard off for the event, so you know it was big to him.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He shaved his beard.
Did they all stay at your house?
No, they stay in the hotel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't have that. He's got a baby.
Yeah. He's got a 2-year-old.
Can't have these drunks in the house.
All right, Brett.
It was awesome somewhere that they came and visited, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, of course. All right, buddy.
Hook our boy Brett starting at 2 o'clock today. We just tweeted out, you use hashtag Barstool Sups and hashtag Barstool Best Bar. That'll be awesome if you guys win it.
All right, congrats, man.
See you, Brett.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. All right, buddy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, join us right now to give us a little insight. You watch him on the Golf Channel. It's Rex Hoggard. Hey, Rex.
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
What's going on? Has the rain stopped? I know the course has got like 2 inches of rain the last couple of days.
I felt like I saw someone building an arc yesterday on the range. But, yes, the rain has stopped. A little foggy this morning, but I think we're going to actually have a pretty good day, which is what they need. I mean, guys haven't had a chance to get much practice in. So I think everybody will make the most of today.
I don't know where to begin. So Patrick Reed is defending champion. It's weird. A lot of guys are in some sort of weird form. We've all been talking about Jordan Spieth and sort of how he's sort of all over the place. Patrick Reed's another one, right? He hasn't exactly been on form.
No, he absolutely hasn't, and the fact that he turned to David Ledbetter is kind of telling where he is right now with his game. This is no offense to David, but in the modern era, players really haven't been turning to him to find answers. That's not to say that he's not a good coach and that he can't steer you in the right direction. He just doesn't kind of have that history the last few years. And look, Patrick had done all of this, won the Masters, become a top 10 player like he always wanted to be in the world, essentially on his own hard work. And it is curious that he got away from that to get another set of eyes. And it kind of shows you where his mind is going into this defense.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eric mentioned Spieth, and we talked about him a little bit a couple segments ago. And in his last 22 events, now he finished third last year at the Masters. Since that tournament, had played 22 events. He's got one top 10 in 22 events. He's been awful. And I don't understand it. I don't. What is going on with the guy mentally? What is going on with this guy fundamentally? I know he's always trying to tweak things, but he just looks miserable in most of his events when he's around the greens.
Well, there was a great tweet from a tour caddy a couple weeks ago, and I mean, we all know what he's like on the golf course, right? I mean, he has no unspoken thoughts. And the tweet was Jordan's not really good at kind of masking it when he's not playing well, and he hasn't been playing well, as you pointed out, for a long time. And I think it's a combination of things. I think fundamentally his swing got off a little bit, and that bled into his putting, which we all know is the key part of his game. And then that kind of just crash landed right on top of his confidence. And that's a bad three punch right there. Some guys don't recover from that. And I think he still sort of dug himself into a hole. And if you look at sort of the hierarchy of this year, he keeps saying the same things. I'm patient. I'm on the right path. I'm working on the right things. at Riviera a couple weeks ago in Los Angeles when, again, a very, very poor finish. He talked about, look, I'm still patient, but I'm tired of being patient. If there's anywhere where he could maybe get that spark, it's going to be here, but I just don't see it. There's nothing in his body of work. Again, right. Just like you pointed out, that suggests he's ready for a breakthrough. Now, crazy things happen at Augusta, and I think we'll know exactly which way he's going to go depending on his round on Thursday. If he does not get off to a fast start, he doesn't have a game right now to play catch up.
Yeah, I mean, part of me says, okay, there's just no chance he's going to make the cut. He's going to shoot 74, 76, and he'll be done. And then the other part of me says, well, this is the one place he loves to play. He's got an incredible track record. But I don't know. I don't think I can be swayed in that direction. He's been so bad.
Well, I think he'll make the cut. I'm not willing to go that far. But I will be surprised if we get to Sunday afternoon and we're having a conversation about can Jordan win his second green jacket, just because we've seen good runs of golf. I mean, last week in Texas, he got off to a horrible start on Saturday morning and turned back around with a 31 on the back nine. So he can do it. It's just you can't have those times when you don't do it at Augusta. You can't have that opening 940. You don't recover from that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would never pick Tiger to win at this point at Augusta. I certainly wouldn't put 85,000 on it like somebody did yesterday in that story that went viral. But all that being said, I would never bet against Tiger. He's coming into this event 12th in the world. I don't think anybody's talking about this, right? I mean, Tiger's had this comeback that half the world thought would never happen. He's already up to 12th in the world. He's won once. He's contended a few times. He talked about it last couple majors. He's been there for moments down the stretch. Is there any chance he can muster up something? Because he's not the same Tiger, but he still has magic left in his game. But if Rory's on his A game or DJ's on his A game or Brooks Koepka, I don't think he can keep up with him. But if those guys are off a little bit, there's a window still there, I think, for a guy like Tiger.
Well, I mean, that was my column yesterday, and you touched on it. So since he won last time in 2005, pretty much everything has changed, right? He's a different player. He's a different person. Yeah. He doesn't drive it like he used to. He can't overpower this golf course. His putting so far this season certainly isn't anywhere close to what he was back in 2005 in his prime. I will say his institutional knowledge of this golf course far exceeds anyone else. So if anyone understands how to play this layout with the game that he has, it's Tiger Woods. But I think you touched on the main point. We saw it last year at the PGA. We saw it at the Open Championship. First, Koepka wasn't going to get caught. He was going to do whatever it took to beat Tiger Woods, and I think that's the wall he's going to continue to run up against. He can have these great weeks like he had at the PGA last year, but it seems like the guys that he has to beat now are going to find a way just to get it done a little bit better. That wasn't the case in his prime. He was always that guy in his prime that he could just sort of blow away the field and cruise on the weekend, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Now, so I think another side story has got to be Rory. And the way he's played this year, he's been awesome. I think he's got, his last six events, he's got a win at the Players, and he's been like 4-3-2-6-5, something like that. He's been playing unbelievable golf. Now, he lost to Tiger in the match play. And, you know, I think there's something there. I'm not saying that Tiger, you know, kind of has that that mental edge over the younger guys like he used to. But that said a lot to me. What do you expect from Rory this week?
The match play loss, while surprising, I'm with you. I mean, match play's fickle, and anything can happen in 18 holes. But I will say, if you combine the match play with the way he finished the final round last year at the Tour Championship when he, you know, teed off in the final group with Tiger Woods, yes, there does seem to be something there that Rory's going to have to figure out a way to get over when it comes to Tiger Woods. But when you look at his attitude and you look at his game, which everything is clicking again, when everything clicks for Rory, he's hard to beat, man. I mean, he has that special gear. And you just have to like the idea that even though he has intense pressure this week, he can complete the career grand slam that puts him in an unbelievable category of the game, the best of the best in the game. He has taken a really measured approach. And I think more than anyone else, he's more mentally and physically prepared to win this week.
Joined by Rex Hager, writer for the Golf Channel. Is this the Ricky Fowler breakthrough week, runner-up last year? 9 of the last 12 winners at Augusta are first-time major winners, including 7 of the last 8. Do you think Ricky breaks through?
I always say yes, but I always go back to Butch Harmon, his swing coach. You know, I remember talking with Butch at the U.S. Open a few years ago when Ricky was in contention and having the same conversation. Like, it's got to happen. It's going to happen this week, right? And Butch sort of shook his head and he goes, yeah, but until it does happen, it hasn't.
Right, right.
And it was very, very simple. You know, it's old school knowledge right there. And I think that Ricky proved a lot to himself last year, and he was playing catch up. He was trying to run down Patrick and really had nothing to lose and was throwing darts, and he can take a lot from that. But he'll have to do a little bit better this year, specifically on Saturday. He has always struggled at this golf course on Saturday, and if he can find a way to get over that hump and somehow get himself into the lead, I really like his chances. But playing catch-up here, it's hard to do.
Rex, we always ask you to predict the future every time you're on during Masters Week. We ask you to give us three guys that you really like in order. Let's start with three, two, one. Let's go three to the winner. So third place, who do you like?
Third place, I would go with Dustin Johnson. I mean, you know, we sort of danced around him for so long. And, of course, we all know what happened when he hurt himself and didn't get to play the Masters. He's world number one. He's world number two right now. I think he's going to be tough to beat.
All right, runner-up.
Runner-up is interesting for me. It might be a dark horse. I love Paul Casey this week. He's played this golf course well. Mm. He just won a few weeks ago in Tampa. He has so much confidence, and like he's the 40-something that I think really has a chance this week.
He has been playing great. All right, I don't know if you want to do a drum roll, Cakes or Valdez. Let's get Rex Hoggard's winner of the 2019 Masters.
And the winner is, I like Rory for all the reasons we just pointed out, where his head is, where his game is. He knows his place in history right now and what this would mean. And the fact that he's willing to sort of look beyond that, and, you know, it's the cliche, but stay in the process, I think he's going to be hard to beat this week.
Rory, 8-1 odds in Vegas. He is the favorite.
When was the
I like that number.
Yeah. When did you say, when was the last time a favorite has won, though?
I don't know. You mean the odds on favorite?
Yes.
Maybe. 2005 Tiger.
Yeah.
Well,
been
it Tiger?
A while.
So it's been 15 years. Wow.
Been a while. All right. Hey, listen, love it, Rex. Thank you, as always. We'll be watching. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
I don't feel a huge buzz yet for the
playoffs.
I don't
feel it. I almost feel like the Caps fans are taking it for granted early.
Yeah.
And the buzz did grow last year. Like, the viewing parties didn't start in game one.
Yeah.
It gained momentum.
And I don't think we should get crazy early on. I think we should be mellow and let's see how this all plays out.
Yeah.
JR, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
There you
gotcha
go.
Now.
What are you doing? You're driving somewhere?
Are you on a train?
Yeah, I'm driving to the studio. I got a job to do tonight. Playoff star, baby.
Yeah.
Nice.
Didn't mean to get you up so early. Sorry.
You kidding me? I just landed in New York, so took the red eye in, ready to go.
Good stuff. So we were just kind of talking about this Caps Hurricane series, and you know, I don't know much about Carolina. I know that the Caps went 4-0 in the regular season. A couple of those games were tight. But, you know, the Caps have all the experience now after last year. Carolina really doesn't because they haven't been in the playoffs in 10 years, I believe. Rod Brind'Amour is a tough-minded, you know, he's a tough-minded player. You know him well. So what do you think the difference is in this series between the two teams?
Well, talent and experience and goaltending. I think, yes, Rod Brind'Amour has done a great job with Carolina, and I think Carolina has done a great job in creating a buzz and creating an excitement that not only their team has been enjoying, but their fans have been enjoying. So the fact that there's a lot of energy, everybody's so excited to be back in the playoffs, that energy is going to be tough to play on early in this. I think Carolina starting
tilting
excited about, they do have a very gritty team to play against, but when it comes down to it, the talent that is just oozing off of the Washington Capitals roster on the ice. Holtby will outdo Mrazek. You know, Ovechkin will outplay Aho. It's you know, the only thing that I say is the problem is sometimes Washington will play down to their competition and think that they can just put up, you know, lace on the boots and just go out and win with talent. But they found last year that when you play hard and you play that gritty style that you're supposed to play, you win championships. But it's all between their ears for Washington. They should handle this in about 5 or 6 games. But, you know, again, they have to have the right attitude.
JR, do you think that's what happened to the Caps last year when they stubbed their toe in the first two games against Columbus? Even though the games were tight, they dropped the first two and were close to losing the first three if it weren't for Lars Eller coming up huge on the road against Columbus. I'm sure Coach Reardon has their attention about getting a quick start, trying to win both of the games at home, and not getting into that hole early.
1,000,000%. I mean, if they didn't have that scare by Columbus and Lars Eller scoring that OT goal and then having that breath of fresh air, you know, that was a huge wake-up call. And that's exactly the point that that I was just making. And they just have to understand that that happened last year. And, you know, you can't poke the dog too many times. So to get off on the right foot is the right idea this year.
Any concerns or questions with Todd Reirden as a rookie head coach at all? I mean, I don't think there is, but you may have.
I don't think so. I think Todd's done a really good job. You know, he's been around. He was the assistant coach, so he knows this team really well. The players know him. There's no problem in the system. You know, I don't know if he is a guy that can push guys' buttons, whether he's a stern coach, if he sees something that's not happening or that he doesn't like, whether he's going to address it or and how he's going to address it. You know, and I'm a perfect example. I'm a huge fan of Kuznetsov. I think he's one of the most talented players on the planet. But when he gets playing his loosey-goosey, you know, trying to throw real talented passes, which are low percentage plays through the middle, making, you know, bad decisions because he is that talented, and turnovers start happening, is Todd Reirden going to sit Kuzi down and say, hey, listen, you got to make the high percentage play, dump the puck in and go get it rather than do a spinorama pass at the blue line, you know, blind to someone that you think is coming, you know, late, you know, play the game the right way. So, but he's done a great job of keeping this team level-headed all year. Nobody's talking about them because they're all talking about Tampa, and I think that's a good thing for the Washington Capitals.
Joined by Jeremy Roenick, former NHL superstar, now studio analyst for NBC Sports. He's on the way to the studio right now in New York City for the Stanley Cup playoffs, which start tonight. You know, big surprise that Brett Connolly had a great year, his best year in his contract year, and he's been a nice piece for the Caps since they picked him up in 2016. 22 goals, 24 assists on the season. And this is a guy who broke into the league early, huge expectations. He's starting to fulfill them now, and the Caps are benefiting.
Well, he's a very talented player, and I think there's been a few teams that have been waiting for him to wake up. You know, Florida waited for him to wake up. The Bruins tried to get him to wake up, and I think this guy's got an incredible shot. He's got a good knack for the net, but I think the position that he's in right now, being a solid third line winger, and I think that's another reason why Washington's so strong this year is because of that third line with Connolly, Eller, and Hagelin. They're very, very strong. They're very good on the defensive part of the game, but still can put the puck in offensively. So very dangerous. And Connolly is a guy that has the most confidence. He's been fantastic this year. And of course, it is a contract year. We see a lot of guys play their best hockey when they have the opportunity of getting paid at the end of the season.
Jeremy, Cakes and I have a pretty large wager, moneyline parlay wager on Tampa Bay and Washington to get through the first round. Pretty large. You feel
for
pretty,
us, not for us. You, for us.
Yeah, not for you. You put $10,000 on it.
Well, let's put it this way. If that's parlay, that's gonna pay a 500. It's gonna pay $510.
Correct.
Maybe four ninety. But I'd be very confident that that's gonna happen. Yes, I think that's a good bet.
See, he knows the odds.
Yeah, he does.
I wouldn't be surprised if he has one in there. Do you like the Caps? If the Caps do get through, who do you think they face in the next series, Pittsburgh or New York?
I think they get Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh has so much pedigree. Whenever you have a Sidney Crosby and a Malkin, Kessel is heating up. It's playing some good hockey right now. Matt Murray's been playing better hockey the second half, at least the last third of the season. So I think Pittsburgh is going to find a way to get it done. I think it's going to be a long series. I think it'll be 7 games, but I think Pittsburgh will come out on top.
When you were playing, and when did you feel like the season was just getting to a grind? Was it the last month? Was it the last couple of weeks?
No, actually, the real grind is right after Christmas. You know, it's especially when you're on a really good team and you're rolling along, you're playing, you know, every other night. It's game 40 through 65, games 40 through 60. It's like the halfway point is you're tired. You just got, you know, done with the holidays. The playoffs are still 3 months away, and it seems like the season never ends. Those that once you get to game 70 and you can start seeing everything shape up and you can see the standings and who you might be playing, that's when you start getting excited that that second season is here. So, but it's not a grind. Physically, your mind takes over the physical drain because right. you get so excited for the playoffs.
Right. And then, Cakes, when were the Caps, what was that last regular season game? Was it last weekend? Was it Saturday?
It was Saturday, yeah, against the Islanders.
Yeah, so they got like 5-day break, so that's huge for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, it can work both ways. You know, you like to be rested, there's no question, but it's really important that they get that first game, start fast in that first game because the legs, you know, you can't go into practice and emulate, you know, game speed. So, you know, you might be a couple pounds heavier, your legs might be a little heavier, so it might take them, you know, a little bit longer to get in the swing of things. But, you know, each guy is different, reacts different to different kind of rest.
Off topic, how's your golf game and who do you have this weekend?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. I just shot 70 at Whisper Rock the other day.
Nice.
Played pretty good the other day. And that's for not playing, so I'm really happy the way my season's starting. In terms of this weekend, I just don't know how Dustin Johnson can't with his power and his short game is going to take over this golf course. I think he's had so many off course issues and at the Masters over the last couple of years that it's mentally taken away from his game. But I think this year, you know, being free of any controversies last year, he's going to come in and just beat this course down because it's perfect for his style of game.
Yeah, you'd think he'd win two or three of these.
Yeah.
You would think, but listen, when you go fall down a flight of mm-hmm. wooden steps,
right.
for whatever reason you're running out of a house for
right. with exactly. your ankle. Right. Exactly. You know, how's that going with this old lady? Are they like, is everything cool right now? Or are they, you know, like, what's going on?
I think they have a very interesting relationship. And hey, what you know, she's not the most perfect person either. So
right, you know, exactly.
I think they're perfect for each other.
Do you know that?
I would like to see which one wins in the SAT contest.
That's a good line. I like that.
I wonder if they combined if they could crack 1600. Hey,
well, they're both very talented, but I would like to see it.
Right.
By the way, JR, DJ, I just looked at his record. He's got one. He only has one top five at the Masters.
Yeah, top four.
Yeah, you got top four.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's
that's bizarre.
Again, I just think everything is mental for him. He hits the ball so long, and his short game has become so good. Powerfully good
yeah.
that you know, he can. It's his touch around the greens, because these greens, guys, you have no idea until you're standing on them, the undulations
mm-hmm.
and how crazy a putt can be, a chip can be. There's certain parts of these holes that you just cannot put the ball in the wrong place because it's going to go 10 times farther than where you started.
Have you ever played there, JR?
Yeah, I played there back in the late 90s before it changed over.
Who invited you?
Gosh, you know, my concussions are going to keep me from answering that question.
But obviously a member, you know, somebody that you knew somehow.
Yeah, a friend of a friend. Usually that's how you get on, right? A friend of a friend that sets you up with somebody there. So,
right.
Yeah, I had a great time, shot 74 twice. It was
wow.
great. Played 36 that
Just
day.
Just a stud.
That's so awesome.
All right, Jeremy, we got to run. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, you guys are great. Enjoy the playoffs, guys. Okay, talk to you later.
Yeah, we'll get you on soon. Thanks,
pal. We'll get you on next round. All right,
that's
man.
Jeremy
anytime,
Rogan.
Anytime, thanks, anytime.
Hey, there he is.
Chris Wilson.
All right, Chris Wilson joins us. And for those that don't know, kind of reset it. A couple of weeks ago, really, my buddy Mike, we all know Mike, who's a clinical psychologist, said, you got to check out this book. It's the most inspirational book that I've ever read. And he is a clinical psychologist, went to Johns Hopkins, loved the book. I'm not a reader.
Mm-hmm.
I got the book. I loved it. I put my friends onto it. Both of them have loved it. And it's the story of a guy who served a life sentence, got a second chance in life, and Chris Wilson joins us now. Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
So, Chris,
let me ask you, how old are you?
40. I just turned 40.
God, I'm telling you, man, brothers look good. He looks
black,
like
don't
25.
Crack.
It's so true.
Right.
And Chris grew up,
and we were talking about this before you jumped on, you grew up kind of in Temple Hills and D.C.
Yeah.
Because you were part of the time with your grandparents, part of the time with your mom, who was a single mother. You had a bunch of brothers and sisters. I think part of them, some of your brothers and sisters lived with you. Some of the grandparents kind of was kind of like a nomadic life.
Right.
And you've described your childhood, or and other people have described your childhood, as almost kind of like a war zone existence. Like, you wouldn't even sleep on your own bed.
Yeah. We couldn't, because this was around like the late 80s, early 90s, when the crack epidemic was sweeping through through cities, and people started buying AK-47s in my neighborhood, the drug dealers, and the bullets would literally go through our houses.
Mm. Right.
And like, straight bullets would take people away often.
What school were you attending at that time?
Richardson Elementary School.
Richardson Elementary.
So you were sleeping on your bed, but I'll say this from reading the book. It seemed like, at least early in your childhood, your mom had things together.
Yeah.
And she kind of taught you, for example, like the principles of supply and demand. You had, he had a blow pop business.
Yeah.
And like, he was always an entrepreneur making money. I think you even had like three kids in the school working for you in a blow pop business.
Right. Right.
This scaled up. What grade was this?
Was this like middle school?
No, this was elementary school.
Oh, this was elementary school.
Yeah, so I think I was in fifth grade.
Wow. So you have this, you have the entrepreneurial spirit. Your mother's sort of teaching you that. When you have bullets flying around you in the neighborhood, that's sort of a matter of routine for you. Is it to the point where it's so routine that it's not even scary, or are you scared?
I was terrified.
Terrified every day.
Every day. And I didn't understand why there was so much shooting. And we would call the police, like when stuff happened. People would get shot in front of my house. We'd call the police. They wouldn't even show up.
Now,
So normal, or because they were scared to be in that part of the town?
Maybe both.
Yeah.
This was Lincoln Heights.
Heights.
Northeast.
So this is in the district.
Yeah.
So give me some streets, because I'm not that familiar with that part of the neighborhood.
So Division Avenue, off of East Capitol Street.
Okay.
But this is like back in the day. This is like the old D.C.
What was your mom doing for work?
So my mom was a paramedic.
And so
she's a paramedic. She graduated from Georgetown. She bought her first house at 19, and she was just like moving up and moving up. But because of her work hours, I was too young to be in a house alone.
Okay.
So I stayed with my grandmother Monday through Friday.
But kind of what changed your life in the negative way is your mom got involved with this ex-cop who abused her. And to the point that you actually witnessed, I think he pistol whipped you, and then you woke up and saw him raping your mom.
Yeah, and then he tried to kill her.
How did he try to kill her?
Well, he took his gun, and he took like his fist, and he just bashed her skull in. So he broke the orbital bone over her skull.
And you saw all this?
Yeah. I was the one who took her. I tried to take her to the hospital, but I ended up going to a police station.
Right.
And he didn't do anything.
Was he arrested?
Yeah, he was arrested. He lost his job, obviously, for that. But because he was a police officer, he only did about 18 months, and he came home, and he started stalking our family. And there was no law against stalking back then.
Really? Do you know where he is now?
He's still here in D.C.
Wow. And part of the thing, as your personal life, like, I think as a kid, like you said, you had this blow pop business. I think you were playing cello. Like, you kind of had things going. It seemed like
team.
In a positive direction. Things turned, though, when he got involved with your life, because not only was there that big incident, there were a lot of incidents, and your mom kept taking him back.
Right.
And your mom kept taking him back. Your brother got involved in gangs and kind of the drug culture life. Right. And shooting, and you found yourself at a point in your life where you started carrying a gun.
Exactly.
How old were you? I need more timeline.
13.
13, you start carrying a gun. Where do you get the gun?
Guns were everywhere.
So what did they just ask a buddy and give him 10 bucks?
I need a gun, It was probably more than that. I think it was like 80 bucks. But
Hold on, JP. I know you're trying to race through it. Just slow down. How do you get the 80 bucks? You're 13 years
old.
Huh?
Dice game.
You're playing dice.
Yeah.
You're shooting dice. Wow. Yeah.
Now, your brother, Derek, how old was he? How much older is he than you?
Maybe 4 years older than me.
Okay. So he was running the streets. He was in a gang?
He wasn't in a gang. Like, we called them crews. We had gangs back in D.C. back in the day. It was just a crew, like, whatever neighborhood you were from.
And your crew could be positive. You could go to Go-Go's. You talked about that. But you started to kind of hang with the wrong crowd. And at one point, before the incident, which we'll get to, you actually got kidnapped to the point that he actually heard these people talking about how they were going to get rid of his body.
All right, explain that whole thing.
So it was a misunderstanding. Some other people had stole some drugs. I wasn't a drug dealer. I never sold drugs. And they thought it was me. Mm-hmm. It's like, Chris got the drugs. And so these men came and they kidnapped me. And he took me to this house. and they had like dogs. They sick the dogs on me, and then they were just arguing about where to dump my body. And they was like, put him in the Anacostia River. We can do this. And they was like, nah, he would float to the top. Uh-huh. And like I could hear him, and I was so terrified.
Where were you when you could hear him? Where were you?
I was in the basement of some house that they took me.
Okay, so you're obviously pleading with him, saying, dude, I didn't do it.
Yeah, I was like, it's not me. Like, and I was a child. Like, I just used the bathroom on myself.
How old were you?
I was probably
15 at that time.
And so 15. not to set all this up as an excuse, but given all of that, you then have the incident which changes your life.
Right.
Because you took a life.
Right.
So how did that happen?
So all these incidents that happened. So I also lost five of my friends at this point. Two of them got shot in front of me, and I had to send them off. And then, you know, I got
What were they shot over?
Just stupid stuff. Sometimes it's just nothing. Tennis shoes, an argument, a girl, and mm-hmm. like people, and like one of my friends was just shot by a police officer, and like all this stuff had happened. And then I kept thinking about when my mom was attacked and like stuff that happened to me. I got kidnapped. I had a gun on me, mm-hmm. but I just did, like I had it for protection. I didn't like have the heart to pull it out and shoot it. And so after all this stuff happened, I was like, if I hesitate again, I'm gonna end up dead. Mm-hmm. And so one night I left my house and I was at my mom's house, and like these men, because my family was being stalked. So these men started following me. And so I knew they were following me. And so I went to my gas station where there was a bunch of people, and I was like, they won't do anything to me here. And then these guys were like, we've been watching you. We've been watching your family. And then they rushed me and tried to get behind me. And I had my gun on me and I pulled it. And I ended up taking a person.
Were they older when you
said
men?
Yeah, they were in their 30s.
Okay. And
I was 17.
And why were they?
Why were they stalking your house, your family?
I have no idea.
And you have no idea why they were watching you? Like,
yeah.
Like, what did they want from you?
I would guess and say they were probably friends of my mom's old boyfriend.
And so they just wanted to terrorize you.
Yeah.
Because
my brother, at this point, my brother had got shot. My cousin had got shot. My cousin passed away. This happened in front of the house. And we all started carrying guns. Even my sister carried a gun.
Right.
So you end up going to trial, and while you're awaiting trial, you're an upper Marlboro.
Well, hold on. I want to get back to the incident.
We only have certain time, but you can't go too fast.
Yeah. I mean, you're trying to do the entire book.
I'm giving you some key. Well, no, you're going to go through like 50 pages.
Well, hold on.
It's all good.
Well,
let's do it.
I just have questions.
Slow
about
down, Jim.
I have questions about the incident. All right. Yeah. So you're walking to the gas station,
right?
And you know these two men are behind you.
Yeah.
And they're what are they saying to you? Are they saying something to you as they're behind you?
As they approach me, so I go around a whole bunch of people. They approach me and it's like, we've been watching you, and don't think that you're safe. We know where your mom is. We're gonna kill you, this and that. And another guy ran and tried to get behind me, and I shot him.
So they didn't show a gun. You were just,
I didn't see a gun. I don't know.
Okay. And you shot the guy.
Yeah.
And then everyone just kind of run off?
So they ran in a different direction. I ran in the opposite direction.
And then how long before you get arrested?
Maybe like 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Why did it take so long? People wouldn't snitch? Or,
well, my friend got arrested for something else, and he was like, I know about something that happened. And so he used, like, what I told him.
Oh, so he snitched.
Yeah.
He ratted on you.
Yeah.
All right. So then when you're arrested, then I assume you get a public defender.
I actually got an attorney.
You did have it. You had a real attorney.
Yeah.
And then JP tells me you didn't use, like, defense. Like
self-defense.
Self-defense as your defense.
Right. So I was young. I didn't know much about law. All I knew growing up in the streets.
Well, the attorney
should. Well, yeah. But so I didn't trust my attorney. I didn't understand like the relationship that you have with an attorney. So at the time, I didn't come clean about actually what happened until like a decade later.
Well, how old were you?
You even told your dad. So his dad, he didn't have a great relationship with his dad. So he's awaiting trial. His dad comes to see him, and this is not a positive influence. Your dad just grilled you.
Yeah.
And said, why would you kill somebody? And you actually told your dad, I didn't kill him.
Right, I did.
So you just denied it.
Yeah.
To your attorney, even, you denied it. You said it wasn't me.
Yeah,
so I see. Okay. How old were you at the time when the shooting happened?
17.
You were 17. Okay.
And so it goes to trial, and then just to fast forward a little bit, you get a life sentence without parole.
I had the possibility of parole, but in the state of Maryland, no one gets parole with a life sentence.
Talk about the moment, though, that you then are taken to solitary. You said in the book, everybody cries when they realize it's the end.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't cry when I received the sentence. I went to my cell. I cried. They put me on solitary confinement for a long time. I had like no.
What's a long time? I have no idea.
2 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a long time.
And just no human interaction. And I just kept thinking like my mustache hadn't even grown in on my face yet. And I was like, I haven't done anything with my life. And I didn't start this. Like I was a child. I made this decision. I know, like, you know, now on paper, like, you know, people like, you killed someone. And I was like, I just didn't want to be remembered as a person that done that. And that was kind of like my rock bottom. And I was like, I got to figure out a way how to prove to people that my life.
Let me ask you this. Real quick, did you have any remorse after you killed the guy? Did you feel any remorse for that guy or that guy's family?
So honestly, it took me about 6 years to really like be remorseful. And that's just being honest. Like people would say like they're sorry or whatever, but I had been through so much that I was desensitized about like what happened.
I know you got a good break. What was your mom's reaction though? Because she's trying to do the right thing, right?
She was devastated.
Right? Yeah, she couldn't believe this, I'm sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.